It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side.
Good morning, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. As you can tell, I'm in a little bit of a different location here this morning for our running back breakdown. We have, if you've seen the show Ozark on HBO, I actually have a place at that exact location down in Osage Beach, Missouri, which is about 3 hours from St. Louis. If there's any connection issues, I take no responsibility for them, but I don't think there will be. But let's go ahead and take a look here, Paul, at the running back spot. And, you know, this is one that's been heavily contested among Dolphins fans here because, it's a lot of Myles Gaskin fans out there, but a lot of disappointment that the Dolphins did not get somebody that could either compete with them or be that number two running back. Is when you look at the running back spot, do you think the Dolphins believe that Myles Gaskin is a star, that or he could be that star based on what he saw last year? Or do you think maybe they just weren't as impressed as we thought with the running back group over the last 2 years? Or a third question, maybe they just don't have any respect for the running back spot.
I think they do have respect for the running back spot, but I think if you look at the guys that they grabbed this offseason, if you look at Malcolm Brown, if you look at Jared Doakes, they're set up to be a good complement to what Gaskin does well, what maybe Patrick Laird or Savon Ahmed do well. Nobody on this roster is a speed demon. But Malcolm Brown can come in and he can pass protect. He can run between the tackles. Jared Doakes came in. He can pass protect. He can run between the tackles. I brought it up when they drafted him on our little synopsis of Doakes, that one of the things that really endeared me to him was during the draft, he tweeted out, "If you want to keep your quarterback clean, you draft me." And that's a huge thing. There's a lot of running backs that aren't really interested in pass protection. You look at some of the guys that we've had in Miami over the past few years. So seeing things like that, I love that. I love a running back that's willing to pace whoever gets through the line. Attention, listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. First scheduled for liftoff, the new Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. This spaceship is here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, balls, butt, and even Uranus. This fourth generation trimmer also features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, and can engage a travel lock, and it's even waterproof. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the weed whacker. It's like having a little astronaut to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your Spaceballs will thank you.
Right, and it'll be a fascinating battle there for the second running back spot. The Dolphins signed Malcolm Brown here in free agency. A small contract, 1 year, $1.4 million. They've also, Savon Ahmed had two big games against the Chargers and against the Patriots here last year. So that's something else that comes into play. And Patrick Laird returns, that third down back. I think somebody that you and I like a little bit more as somebody who can help in the passing game. And they draft Jared Doakes here at the end of the draft in the seventh round. So, but going back to Myles Gaskin. And so this past year, he missed, I believe it was six games. So in 10 games, he had 974 total yards in the rushing and the receiving game. I mean, you're talking about about a 1,500 total yards over a 16-game season if he were to stay healthy. So that's a good point for being a really good back. I think part of me wishes that they had two Miles Gaskin in case Gaskin can't take the, you know, 300 to 350 touch a year pounding that a running back is typically designed to take.
Well, they pretty well do have two Miles Gaskin on the roster, and Savon Ahmed's pretty much a cookie cutter of him. And and not just because they went to the same school. It's he stepped in and was doing a lot of the same things Gaskin was. The interesting thing for me is this was a weird position anyway for me to break down, because not only do you have the guys we mentioned already. I know I mentioned Patrick Laird briefly, who does have a rapport with Tua, which may be his path to the roster. But outside of that, like, and I know we're not going to preview Seathan Carter on this show, but it looks like they're planning to use him as a fullback H-back type and not a traditional tight end. And then when we did our 53-man roster preview, I've got Malcolm Perry listed as a running back. I know he's a running back slash wide receiver on the roster. So there's a lot of bodies vying for maybe four spots on this roster.
That's something to watch. To watch out for, because like we talked about, Malcolm Perry was a quarterback at Navy. When he was drafted, he was listed as a running back, and he was on the depth chart as a wide receiver and took wide receiver snaps last year. So, yeah, that could be really detrimental to Patrick Laird's odds of making the roster if Perry gets more looks at running back. No reason to think specifically he will right now, but that's a road the Dolphins could go down. But going back to what you said, I disagree with one thing you said there. I don't think Ahmed and Gaskin are the same, are similar. Gaskin to me is a good pass protecting back for his size. He's good in the passing game, and he can kind of make you miss. Where Savon Ahmed to me is somebody who is a skinny dude. He doesn't block well because he doesn't have the size. And he needs a runway to be able to take the ball from point A to point B. So I don't know. Ahmed is somebody that if you've got the offensive line, he not only can get skinny, he is skinny. Yeah. So going from he's somebody that we saw last year on a lot of these carries where maybe Miles Gaskin would have gotten 5 or 6 yards. Ahmed gets through the hole so fast that he takes it for 15 or 20.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And one thing I'll just amend there is anytime you have to say pass blocks well for his size, it means he's not so good at it. Like, it's, you know.
I
like,
agree.
It's like, look at the cute little guy trying to reach up to the top shelf. He almost reaches it well for his size. He extends well. Can't reach it still, but, you know, it's – no, Ahmed's got a little bit better short area quickness. They're not an exact mirror of each other. I still don't have Ahmed making the roster, even though I do like him. But it's, you know, I do think Gaskin could excel, especially given the fact that now we've got a 17-game season for him to look at.
Yeah, the main competition right now looks like it'll be between Brown and Ahmed for that backup running back spot. You could make a case neither is guaranteed a roster spot at this time. And partially it's because we're expecting to see some running backs get cut here later in the offseason. And we saw the Dolphins put in a waiver request for Kerryon Johnson, and he ended up going to the Eagles. So the Dolphins clearly do want to get some more bodies in there going forward here. But one thing, too, and we'll get to the running backs who may be cut here in just a second, but we'd be remiss not to talk about Javonte Williams, because that was a big draft day story here. Because a lot of Dolphins Twitter and a lot of people – think that doesn't matter if Javonte Williams was there at 36, they would have still taken Javon Holland. But outside of the Dolphins community, a lot of people think, no, they were going to take Javonte Williams. And two in particular, Mike Silver, I just want to read two quotes here. After getting some intel from an unnamed source that the Dolphins, who were four spots ahead of Denver, were planning to select Javonte Williams. Broncos GM George Pattan hastily negotiated a trade with the Falcons to jump one pick ahead of Miami, who otherwise would have taken him. The second one is from Benjamin Albright on Twitter, somebody I really like a lot. He works for KOA 850 FM in Denver. said if Williams was there, the Dolphins were taking Williams. They had two names. They rushed the second one up once Denver traded up to that spot for Javonte Williams, and the Dolphins took Javon Holland. So I bring that up, Paul, because, yes, I know Javon Holland, I'm very happy with that pick. He brings a lot to the team. I think that is one moving forward that we've got to earmark for good and for bad reasons, because this is the second year in a row now that Dolphins seemingly had another team jump ahead of them or take the running back right ahead of them. Last year, J.K. Dobbins goes a spot before the Dolphins pick, and a lot of people think the Dolphins would have taken J.K. Dobbins last year. Instead, they come away with Raekwon Davis. So it's something to keep an eye on.
And I kind of feel like both years the Dolphins made teams blink. I love Javonte Williams. I think he would have been a great fit in this offense. I like Najee Harris a lot. I think he would have been a great fit in this offense. You know, I like J.K. Dobbins a lot. I think he would have been a great fit in this offense. I liked A.J. Dillon a lot. I think he would have been a great fit in this offense. You see the theme here. The problem is I think that Flores and Greer were okay with Gaskin, and Gaskin, while on the field last year, did prove that. I think they wanted to add the big body to combat what he does and doesn't do well. I think they did that with both Doakes and Malcolm Brown this offseason. And I think they're basically treating the running back position a little bit like in fantasy and streaming running backs. And, you know, it's Gaskin's a starter. Doakes and Brown are going to spell him. Maybe Malcolm Perry, maybe Patrick Laird will be around to be a third down running back or change of pace or, you know, just that spot guy in an emergency. And they're perfectly happy with that. They're viewing it where you basically stretch the entirety of the field and spread the defense out. These guys can really wreak some havoc, and you don't need that all-pro running back to step in.
And that's just it right there, what you said, is if you spread the field out and you're able to have these Dolphins running backs running against some light boxes here, you know, if you've got Fuller, Gesicki, Devontae Parker, and Jalen Waddle out there at the receiving positions there, you may have Myles Gaskin running against six-man boxes. And if the offensive line even does an above average job in run blocking, which we expect them to, it may not be very hard to play running back for the Dolphins. Overall, when I look at the running back position, I'm not very impressed with the unit outside of Gaskin. There's nobody I would bang on the table for, but it may not matter all that much.
Yeah, and Kat, I will point out that, you know, one of our listeners from the greatest named county in the entire United States, Pickens County, is actually pointing out that the 2022 draft is loaded with running backs. So we've already seen that the Dolphins take the long view, and that may be what they're looking ahead to.
I like Isaiah Spiller already from Texas A&M. There are some good running backs that do stick out, and it was a different type of year at running back. This past draft, because you had the top three guys. You had Najee Harris, who went 24th. You had Travis Etienne, who went 25th. And then Javonte Williams goes 35th. Dolphins could have probably sent a fourth or fifth round pick and moved up a couple spots and guaranteed that they got him. I kind of wish still that they would have, but if their stance is that the running back position is not one that is very hard to find, and it's not a high priority position in the NFL, that's hard to disagree with. Teams that prioritize running back high, I think, are making a big mistake. And we see that time and time again. The running back really is only one small part of the running game, as we see in the NFL from year to year.
It is. And, you know, Miami's looking to stretch the field here. They're looking to build around Tua. Anybody that thinks otherwise is, I won't use that word here on YouTube, but we'll go with crazy. It's, you know, I've been on a couple of the media availabilities with Flores, and you just look at how they're doing this. They're looking to stretch the hell out of the field. They're looking to have their tight ends just run mismatches all over the place and create one-on-ones on the outside and let you pick your poison for how you get beaten. If you're going to put eight men in the box to try to stop the run, they're going to roast you. It's you don't have Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller going over the top if you don't plan for that. And if you're going to account for over the top, they're going to roast you with Hunter Long and Mike Gesicki. And if you're going to try to account for all those receivers, you're going to have about six guys downfield already, and you're going to have five or six on five up in the box, and good luck. Like, it's just, they've got a bunch of meat monsters on this line. I know they were young last year, but and their rankings were down because they started three rookies. But so long as Matt Skura can remember how to snap the ball, we're good here.
Yeah, that's true. And looking at the other running backs available here in the offseason, we should see some get squeezed out of the bottom of the roster. And a couple of those that come to name, one of them is Jalen Richard, who you mentioned, that could really be probably upgrade the second running back spot from, you know, very active in the passing game. Sony Michel for New England. I mean, that the Patriots have some players on the bottom of the roster like Michel, like JJ Taylor, that could get squeezed out. The Texans have four running backs battling. They just signed Rex Burkhead. They've got Mark Ingram, David Johnson, Philip Lindsay, and Rex Burkhead. I don't expect more than two of them to make the final roster because it's unlikely they're going to pay a third running back or a fourth running back that much. Jalen Samuels from the Steelers is somebody who came out of college. Not sure if he was going to be a running back or a tight end, but does have size, can play in the passing game. And every running back that's played for the Steelers hasn't been very good. So he never really had a great shot to begin with. Royce Freeman, I'm not a big fan of, but somebody who also could be available there toward the end of the offseason here. So I don't think the Dolphins are done at running back either.
I don't either. And, you know, I feel a little remiss that we didn't even touch on Jordan Scarlett. He's a guy that showed some shiftiness in college and can do a little bit out in space, but it just feels like he's a little too slow for the NFL level for that type of running back, and I think that's going to shake out as the preseason wears on.
I mean, he went to Florida. Obviously, the Panthers thought enough of him to draft him in the fifth round. That was right about where he was supposed to go. Certainly hasn't put it together in the NFL, but it doesn't take a lot to, you know, if you have the vision and you check mark all the boxes as far as, you know, size and burst and speed, and Scarlett's got a lot of that, then you have a shot. And and another battle that you touched upon there is Carl Tucker against Seathan Carter for that fullback spot. I don't know if they're going to keep a fullback. Maybe they won't, but it's possible. And at Alabama, I don't think Carl Tucker ever caught a pass or even had a rush, but he was still in the final, you know, six or seven games during that national championship run, a big part of Alabama's running game, especially in short yardage situations. So he certainly has a chance too.
So I'm going to disagree with you here, and I know this is a disagreement you and I have had for a while now. I think Miami is desperately, and has been desperately, trying to have a fullback for a few years now. It didn't work out with the guy I never really liked there anyway. But, you know, even when it didn't, they were lining up some, you know, Christian Wilkins and random people in the backfield trying to make it work. And then not only do they get Seathan Carter, but they go out and they get Carl Tucker. They're trying to fill a fullback role here. I don't think they're going to be on the field every down, but I think they've got some packages where they really want to have an effective fullback in there to lift that offense up and lead the play or receive out of the backfield or help with the pass protection. But I think Miami's trying to get a fullback. They just haven't been able to find one that it makes sense to have on the field.
And I'll say the same thing I said when they drafted Chandler Cox.
You hate fullbacks.
I hate fullbacks. Making a fullback a priority or trying to get one is a waste of time. Put an offensive lineman back there. Put Christian Wilkins back there if you want to. Because not only are you having one in your 53-man roster, if you're going to have a fullback on your roster, it's going to be you're going to have him on your 45-day game day active roster. And I think that's why they signed Seathan Carter too, is that he can play tight end, he can give you some looks at fullback, and he's a good special teamer. So okay, he can do three different things, and he's not costing you a lot of money. I'm cool with that. But
you said,
I have no respect for fullbacks.
Put the fat
respect
guys.
For fullbacks. None.
Put them in there. Put the fat guy.
Okay. Yeah. You can take the fat guy. I'll take the athletic good player. We fundamentally disagree.
Fat guys in the NFL. Like,
there's not.
Oh, there certainly are.
There are, but they're playing defensive. Yeah. Fletcher Cox, mm-hmm. Vita Vea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very athletic, big guys.
Take Christian Wilkins and Jalen Phillips and run your power backfield out of that.
Jalen Phillips isn't fat. Christian Wilkins might be. By the way, Christian Wilkins needs to play better this year, wherever he's playing. Well, he ain't good enough.
He earned some credit from me when Omar asked a question during the media availability the other day, and he immediately went, oh. Or not Omar, Armando. Armando asked a question. And he didn't even have the question. Hey, Christian, it's Armando. Oh, okay.
That's nice. He's got a lot of character. I always say this: the first thing you say about a player is that he has good character or good personality, he sucks. I'm not saying Wilkins sucks necessarily, but 13th overall pick a few years ago, not necessarily, hasn't lived up to the hype as far as I'm concerned. But he's a good player. If you draft a player 13th overall and he is a decent number two defensive tackle for you, I think you could have gotten more. Two picks later, the Panthers took Brian Burns, who I think has been a far better player, was at the time, is now. But anyway, see what we get into when we start talking about fullbacks. It's freaking fullbacks. The running backs on the Dolphins roster, something else I wanted to point out, is if you combine the three running backs on the Dolphins roster,
you have one
Miles Gaskin. Oh yeah, one good one. So Miles Gaskin, Stephon Achmed, and Malcolm Brown. You take a look at their stats just last year. They combined, the three of them, 318 carries, 1,322 yards, 11 touchdowns, as well as 75 catches for 611 yards there on over 1,100 snaps. The Dolphins played 1,071 snaps last year. So that's kind of, I think, what they're thinking. We don't have one elite back, but we think we have a very good three-man rotation, and we're going to be able to show some different looks. They're good at different things, and that's got to be the strategy here. It's kind of the old-school Patriots strategy where, hey, we're not going to have one elite back. We're going to have three or four decent players with fresh legs. It's got to be the strategy here.
It does. And, I was just thinking in my head, like, I can't wait to have Deion Dyer back on the show and talk about how much you hate fullbacks. It's going to be amazing.
No, I can't. I'll tell him it to his face. It's not that I didn't love what Deion Dyer did 20 years ago, but the point is it was 20 years ago. He shouldn't have been a fourth round pick. Maybe in the 70s. Yes. But I mean, anytime the Dolphins have drafted a fullback, Rob Conrad, Deion Dyer, Reagan Mawai, Chandler Cox. I'm sure there's another.
I was so excited for Reagan Mawai. I was so excited for him. He looked like
a defensive lineman
in the backfield. I'm like, yes. And he was such a sissy out there. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no way to say it. I hate fullbacks. I think they're a waste of time. Tell you what. I'll extend an olive branch. If the Dolphins find themselves in a spot where they're utilizing fullbacks a lot, you want to add Kyle Juszczyk or Patrick Ricard, a real good fullback who could do some different things, I'm on board. But not somebody who's basically a 260-pound glorified offensive guard. Just put an offensive guard back there. That doesn't make any sense. So
I would love to have Kinley come out of the backfield. Good call.
and we may see
John
that
one Urich. Yes, John Urich just we may see saying let's add a fullback cat.
Well, thank you for the donation. I won't comment on the rest. Now we appreciate you joining us here. We know that the news is a little bit slow right now. Two other things too, Paul, is Broncos draft Javonte Williams there, and when you draft a running back at 35, the guy you currently have on your roster is probably not very safe. So Melvin Gordon, the Dolphins were rumored to have some interest last year. He averaged 4.6 yards a carry, still a good back, 27, 28 years old now. If he is available via trade here as we approach the season, let's say he's available, I don't know, let's say for a fourth or a fifth round pick, and you've got to pay his salary, which is, I don't know it offhand, but probably $8, $9, or excuse me, about $8, $9, $10 million a year. Would you want to do that for Melvin Gordon, or would you say, let's stick with what we have?
Not that much.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was in the, you know, 11 to 12 million a year camp for Derrick Henry. Like, Melvin Gordon is worth less than half of a Henry to me at this point in his career. So
yeah, and you've got to assume that he's going to keep getting worse, and you know he's gotten his money. And yeah, I'm with you on that. I'd probably pass overall. One guy that is interesting to me too, if he's available for cheap, as the season approaches, Rashad Penny for the Seahawks. Now, I know the initial reaction is, oh, that guy can't stay healthy, blah, blah. I agree, he can't stay healthy. That's why he would be available. But when he's been on the field, former first-round pick of the Seahawks, 161 carries over 3 years only, but because of the injuries, but has averaged over 5 yards a carry. And the Seahawks re-signed Chris Carson. They drafted Travis Homer and DJ Dallas, two former Kane running backs, over the last couple of years to really, you know, take Penny's spot. And they rejected or opted out of Rashad Penny's fifth year. So he could be available. I'd throw a sixth or seventh round pick at it, but that's one of the things I'm going to be looking for when cuts happen or toward the end of August, when preseason winds down, who might be available for the Dolphins to acquire here at the running back spot. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I'd pass on Penny. I like what we have on the roster a little bit more, and I think we've got guys that are a little better able to stay on the field. I'd almost rather just get creative with like I said, Malcolm Perry and Seathan Carter coming out of the backfield at that point.
Got it. So, you know, not a lot else to talk about here at the running back spot. Anything else jump out from chat?
Nobody seems to want Gordon. I know some folks are talking a little bit about the offensive line, which I know we're going to get into in a coming episode. You know, one thing I just want to add to that is, you know, like we've talked about before, the offensive line is a very young offensive line. And, you know, like Austin Jackson came out, the whole reason you and I didn't want him was he was athletic, but he was very raw. So, I mean, the fact that he played as well as he did last year overall and comparatively is a good thing, and I know we're going to dive into that a little bit more. A couple of people talking about wanting to trade Gesicki, which I don't know about you, but I am not in that camp at all.
For what? That's my major question. I mean, if you have a team like the Jaguars who really don't have anything at tight end and they want to trade him, you know, send us a first-round pick next year, that could turn into a top five or top 10 pick. Okay. That's a different conversation, but and for anything other than that, I'm not interested. I mean, I do think the Dolphins are going to go away from Gesicki, unfortunately, just because of it, when you look at what they're doing with signing Jalen Waddle, spreading the field, having all these receivers, and then drafting Hunter Long in the third round, I do think eventually they're going to go away from him. I hate saying that. My hope is that, you know, the Dolphins keep Gesicki this year and at the very least franchise him next year where they've got more money and it's only going to be 11 or 12 million to franchise him. Cause he's got one of the best skill sets as far as jump ball situations and contested catches. You've got to account for him in the red zone and you've got to double team him. That opens up a lot of other things underneath. So no, I'm not for trading Gesicki for the sake of trading Gesicki.
No, and I don't think they do overall. I think that they do end up paying him. I think they're not doing it right now because the cap kind of sucks this year. And I think they're going to set it up as it moves forward. But, oh, God, Eric, you had to bring this one up. I'm going to get away from this now. I don't think they trade Gesicki, though. I do think they re-sign him.
You think they'll re-sign Gesicki long-term?
I do. I think okay. Their plan is to use the two tight end model. I mean, it's. I think Flo wants to put his own spin on the old two tight end model from New England. But I, Oh, Shake brought up that they've got Tim Tebow at tight end for the Jacksonville. Good call, Shake.
Thanks, Shake. He's not making the roster.
Eric just asked, and this is a tough one, the trade talks around Xavien Howard.
I don't take him seriously. Look, if a team wants to offer two first rounders for Xavien Howard, that's the only time I say maybe. You're talking about, to me right now, the best cornerback in the NFL. For him to do what he did last year, 10 interceptions in 16 games. And even more than that, there was a stat from Next Generation Stats where Xavien Howard has not allowed a deep ball touchdown since 2017, his rookie year. That's insane for a cornerback that plays as much man coverage as him. So to even go further on deep passes, from Next Gen Stats, when the ball goes in the air, Xavien Howard has 7 interceptions on those deep passes. The receiver has caught the ball 4 times. Howard is coming down with the ball more than the wide receiver on deep pass. That's nuts. And the big thing about, I know it's can be addicting to trade draft picks, but the reality is too, that if the Dolphins are going to be successful and this is going to work, it's got to take shape over the next 2 years. You're going to get rid of your really the major star on your team. It's got to be for insane Laramie Tunzel-like compensation.
Yeah, and it was some weird minor website that everybody keeps going back to that put it back out there again. So I don't really put stock in it yet at this point. It's you don't hear much about it anywhere other than coming from that source, which doesn't really seem to have some type of in.
Is it that NFL trade rumors Twitter?
No, it wasn't even that. It was some lesser.
Less than that.
Yeah.
A knockoff version of that. Ooh, well, yeah, let's not talk.
It was like a knockoff version of a knockoff version of that. Randy Freeman just asked, and I'm going to jump on this one, Kat, but if we saw that Kinley's projected as a second string behind Jesse Davis at left guard, Dieter was getting more time than Skur at center and OTAs. Randy, I'm not putting much stock into that. When Flores did his media availability the other day, he was asked very pointedly about why they moved Robert Hunt to guard. And he basically came out and said, he's got a bright future at tackle. He's got a bright future at guard. We're going to play our best five. We're going to find a way to fit them all in. We're not even committed yet to Hunt being a guard this year. He may end up back at tackle. We're not going to know anything about any of these guys until we see them out there in pads. Offensive line's not a position you can really evaluate without pads on. And I do believe him there. It's because you can have all the great-looking, shimmy in the world against air, but at the end of the day, you need to go out and actually prove it. So it's it's very much a situation of that offensive line is going to be fluid right up until about the third week of training of the preseason, and we'll see
what the offensive line looks. What they look for in offensive linemen is versatility, and they do that so they can have a lot of different combinations there in July and August. So Liam Eichenberg, is played left tackle at Notre Dame, is going to compete at right tackle and hopefully win that job, but may project to be a better guard. Solomon Kinley can play left guard and right guard, and he's done both. Robert Hunt can play right tackle, and he's being kicked inside to right guard. Michael Dieter can play all three interior line spots. Jesse Davis can play all five spots. So versatility is the name of the game here for the Dolphins offensive linemen. We're going to see a lot of different combinations. So I agree with you, Paul. No reason to take the current depth chart very seriously. In fact, I'm glad they're giving different players different looks at certain spots.
Scummy said air one defensive player of the year, and I think that's a great statement for us to close on there.
I'm not looking at the chat there right now. Air one defensive player of the year?
Yeah, I was talking about Hunt blocking against air and offensive lineman blocking against air, and Scummy said air one defensive player of the year. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I see I'm slow-witted, so I can't grasp on right now. So
you're on lake time. let's face it.
I'm on lake time. So yeah, that's gonna do it for a breakdown of the running back spot. We're gonna look at the wide receiver position next week here. Be sure to join us for that. Follow Paul at Fanatic_pick. I'm Brian Cat NFL. Be sure to join us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. Thanks for joining us here. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.